All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke this evening, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'd like to spend a few moments and just make reference to our personal walk with the Lord and the importance of our personal walk with the Lord. And that's well illustrated here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. We see within this passage of Scripture that our Lord Jesus commended Mary for her actions. She sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus listening to his word. Note there in verse 38, "Now it came to pass that as they went, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered, said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." O God in heaven, we ask once again that your Holy Spirit would encourage our spirits to walk with thee. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our personal walk with God in prayer, in daily prayer and reading his word needs to be our priority daily. We must schedule time daily to read our Bibles and pray. And the importance of this discipline is evident in this little illustration here. This example from the life of two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha was a servant. I have no doubt that Mary was a servant as well. But the issue here is that Mary took advantage of the opportunity to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus and to commune with him and to learn from him. And out of Martha's frustration, she had a word to the Lord Jesus, and it's interesting that that Martha went to the Lord Jesus. Martha didn't go straight to Mary. You ever thought about that? I mean, it was her sister, and it would seem that Martha was the older sister, but Martha doesn't go to Mary directly. Martha goes to the Lord Jesus and said, "Hey, will you have a word to my sister?" And then the Lord Jesus gave a very quiet and peaceful rebuke. "Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but one thing's needful. There is one thing that is of uttermost importance." And as she was probably contemplating, what's that one thing? And then the Lord Jesus said, "Well, Mary hath chosen that good part." It's what Mary's doing right now. She's reflecting her love for me by sitting at my feet. And I'd like to encourage you, child of God, in 2018, if we're to turn many to righteousness, boy, we need to be men and women of God that walk with God. Because that's where we'll have seasons of prayer and receive God's anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, and be revived and encouraged and changed. So I'd like to encourage you this evening concerning the importance of your personal walk with God. We must schedule time with God daily. I mean daily time that we read through the Bible, systematically. And daily time that we spend time in prayer, yes, we are to pray without ceasing throughout the day. But yet there should be a season of prayer daily. And the Lord Jesus said to his own disciples, could you not watch for an hour? He expected his disciples to pray for at least an hour a day. Could you not watch for an hour? What's the big deal? So I'd like to encourage you this evening to spend time with the Lord. To spend time with God daily in prayer, in the Word of God. So let's just take a few moments this evening and just reflect on some elements of a walk with God. And then secondly, some benefits within our walk with God. The elements of a walk with God are found in Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Verse number 14 gives us some wonderful insight concerning some elements of a walk with God. The Song of Solomon is a love story between Solomon and one of his many wives, illustrating for us Christ's love for his church, and illustrating for us as well our personal relationship with our Savior. All these applications can be made from this book. And Solomon made reference to his wife as, O my dove. And a note there in verse number 14, and I'd like to draw out some principles, some elements of walk with God. Note then verse 14, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, how Solomon loved his wife, and loved to spend time with her, and loved to see her and hear her voice. And from this expression of love and affection that Solomon reflects to his wife, whom he calls my dove, note the word secret there in verse 14. Underline the word secret, key word. Then note the word see. Secret, see. And then note the word sweet. Oh, and underline that as well. Secret, see, and sweet. And some elements of a walk with God is, number one, that a walk with God is our secret place. That is, that personal walk we have with God. And, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. When I think of my walk with God, and as we consider our walk with God, it's that secret place. We make reference to our quiet time, you know, that time alone, that secret place, that personal time with our God. And Solomon was mindful of enjoying that personal time with his wife. In that secret place, and enjoying her presence, and providing that protection And I'd like to encourage you this evening that as we walk with God, one key element of our walk with God is that it's a secret place. It's a personal walk with God. We enjoy His presence in the secret place of the stairs. And we're reminded of His protection. Note there in Proverbs chapter 30, please. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26, it reads, "The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make their houses in the rocks." And I'm reminded of the fact that within our personal walk with God, as we enjoy that secret place, as we enjoy that personal time with our God, we not only enjoy His presence, but we also are reminded of His protection. And as Solomon affirmed that here, "Thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs, that I'm here to protect you." And but also note there in verse 14 that Solomon said, "Let me see thy countenance." Solomon not only wanted to spend personal time with the one that he loved, but also he was rejoicing in the opportunity to see, to visibly see the one whom he loved. And may I remind you as a child of God that we see our Lord's countenance in the spirit of the Scriptures, do we not? You know, as we read the Scriptures, we see the Lord. We learn more about Him. Let me ask you this evening, how well do you know your God? Well, Pastor, how can I know God more intimately? Well, very simple. Spend time with Him. And you will delight in His countenance. See, Solomon delighted to see the countenance of the one that he loved. And as you and I spend time daily in the Word of God, the Spirit of God will lift the Savior, our Lord, our God, from the Scriptures, and we'll see Him in all of His beauty. And so our personal walk with God is that secret place, that personal walk with God. But also it's a seeing place. Solomon said how he craved, he said, "Let me see thy countenance. I want to see you." And when two people are in love, they can't see one another enough. That's how it works. And if you really love the Lord Jesus, then you'll want to see His countenance. And how do we see His countenance? No, we don't look for visions and revelations and hope for a dream. We see the Lord in the Scriptures, do we not? From Genesis all the way to Revelation, it's all about the Lord Jesus. And Solomon said, "Let me see thy countenance. I want to just see you." That's love in action, wanting to see the one that is loved. And so elements within our walk with God is that it's a secret place. It's a quiet place. It's a quiet time. We often make reference to the quiet time. And I think that comes from this idea here of a secret place, somewhere set apart where it's quiet. And there you are having a personal time with the Lord, just you and the Lord. It's also a seeing place where we can see His countenance in the pages of Scripture as the Holy Spirit teaches us and of all that God is. And but also note that word "sweet" there in verse 14. "For sweet is thy voice." It's a sweet place. To walk with God is a secret place. It's personal. To walk with God is a seen place. It's very practical. We see our Lord's countenance. We see the Lord Jesus in all of His glory in the pages of Scripture. But also it's a sweet place. It's a pleasure to walk with God. And let me hear thy voice, said Solomon. I just want to hear you. I want to see you and I want to hear you. Ought that not to be your desire, my desire, as we spend time daily with the Lord? Lord, I want to see you in the Scriptures this morning. Lord, I want to hear from you from the Scriptures this morning. For sweet is thy voice. The power of the spoken word, the eternal word of God. For sweet is thy voice. It's a sweet place to walk with God, to have communion with God. There is an element of sweetness that we hear from God, from the Scriptures, and we see the Lord in the Scriptures, and we personally spend time with the Lord in the Scriptures. It's a walk with God. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the stairs. Just you and me. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice and thy countenance. The word countenance there is shape. It literally means shape. Thy shape is comely. Thy shape is beautiful. And the Lord Jesus is the altogether beautiful one, is he not? And we find the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures. And the blessed Holy Spirit will reveal the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures and will hear the sweetness of His voice as God speaks to us. And we'll hear from God as He speaks to us and we'll admire His beauty within the pages of Scripture. So, beloved, let me encourage you to walk with God. It's a secret place. It's a personal walk with God. It's a seeing place. It's very practical. God reveals Himself, teaches us about Himself. It's also a sweet place. It's a pleasure to walk with God and to hear His voice and to have God speak to your heart. Isn't it wonderful when you read through Scripture and all of a sudden God speaks? It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Especially when it, you know, He meets a very specific need. Boy, how sweet is that? How sweet is that? When God just speaks and He just hits the nail on the head. Exactly what you needed for the day ahead. That's sweet. Thy countenance is comely. Elements of a personal walk with God. Let's just quickly note some benefits of a personal walk with God. If you turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Psalm 139. David rejoices in the everlasting presence of his God, and he is mindful that God knows everything about him. Note there in verse 1 and 2, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings. You know when I'm down, and you know my uprisings. You know when I'm up. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You can predict exactly what I'm going to think next, God. You know everything about me. Look at verse number 3. Thou compass my path, or you surround my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. You know everything about me. You know when I'm up, you know when I'm down. You know what I'm about to think about. You are there. nothing is of a surprise to you about me. You know everything about me. Look at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Lord, you know everything about me. You can predict my thoughts. No matter where I might run to, you will be there. If I take the wings of the morning, verse 9, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God, you know everything about me. And note verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I am made in your image to reflect your glory. See, David understood that. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Look at verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, verse 18, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. So within this psalm, David reflects on the fact that, hey, God knows everything about me. Everything. I can't escape his presence. No matter where I might run, or no matter what I might do, or no matter what I might consider, God knows me to a T. But note verse 23 and 24, he ends with this little challenge. This is my emphasis for tonight. And search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So what did the psalmist mean by this statement? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Look, he's just spent all this time telling us how much his God knows him. And why does he cry out at the end of this little chapter, search me, O God, and know my heart? Well, let me answer that question. On the basis that God knows everything about us, knows our thoughts, knows our movements, knows everything. Nothing is hid. Young people, you might hide some things from your parents, but God sees everything. Church family member, you might hide some things from pastor, but God sees everything. God sees everything. He knows the very thoughts we're about to think. Before we even think them, he knows. No matter where we might go, God is present. He sees everything. God knows everything about us. And with that very fact, because of the fact that God knows me, David cried out, search me, O God, and know my heart. And what he simply meant by that was simply this: make known to me. Make known to me, for you know everything about me, make it known to me. That's what it means. Are you listening to me? Make known to me. God, you know everything about me, but make it known to me. You know everything about my
heart. You know everything about my thoughts. You know everything about my ways. Lord, take down the scales from my eyes and make it known unto me. In other words, you and I as God's people can be blinded to our own shortcomings. Some shortcomings we are very mindful of. But may I assure you that all of us have shortcomings that we are not mindful of. And we need to pray this prayer, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see, help me to see if there be any wicked way in me. Otherwise, the chapter doesn't make any sense, does it? Because the whole chapter is devoted to the fact that David said, God, you know everything about me. That's what it's teaching. God, you make known to me my heart, my thoughts, my ways. In other words, God, you pull the scales from my eyes and you help me to see as I need to see. And may I submit to you that one of the great benefits of a person walk with God, that God will make known. Our own sin blinds us. I was thinking about that fact just the other day and thinking, well, you know, I am one to say to myself, no, I'm not putting on that much weight. Surely. I know it's Christmas. Surely I haven't done too bad. And then when I'm game to pull out the scales and all of a sudden those scales conflict with what I'm wanting to believe. You know what I'm referring to? In other words, we don't see ourselves as being overweight. But if you and I are to jump on those scales, they will tell the truth. They say weights don't lie. See? That's where that little clause came from. Weights don't lie. No, they don't lie. But we lie to ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror and say, oh, I'm not doing too bad. I've gotten through Christmas, okay. But the truth is known when we jump on those scales. Then it's all revealed, is it not? And beloved, may I encourage you that one of the great benefits of spending time with God is that God will make known what needs to be made known. And you and I need to be humble enough to pray and say, God, search me, O God. Make known to me. Number one, he said, make known to me my heart. Now that is in reference to his emotions. Lord, make known to me my emotions. Are there any emotions that need to be corrected in me, O Lord? Search me, O God. Make known to me my heart. The word heart is used in a variety of ways throughout the pages of Scripture. But if we follow the context here, I think we can confidently conclude that the usage of the word heart here is in reference to emotions. And David said, Lord, search me, God, you know everything about me, but make known to me my emotions. Are there any emotions that need correcting? In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible reads, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is there guilt? Is there anger? Is there worry, envy, bitterness, hatred, criticalness? Search me, O God, and know my heart. And one of the great benefits of a personal walk with God is that God will use his precious eternal word in conjunction with the blessed Holy Spirit to make known to us what's in our hearts.
That can be a humbling thing, can it not? But also he writes here in verse 23, try me and know my what? Thoughts. And let me stress once again, yes, we can be mindful of some of those emotions, some of those wrong emotions that might be evident, but we might be blinded to that fact. Their own sin blinds us. For those of you that drive, you understand the blind spot. You know, we teach our children in driving, be careful of a blind spot. And a blind spot is what? When if a car is directly next to you, you'll be blinded to that very fact if you're not careful. If you're just using your mirrors, you won't see that car directly in your blind spot. And I'm afraid that many of God's people are blind to wrong emotions. Not only wrong emotions, but wrong thoughts. And in Philippians 4:8, the Bible teaches us how to think. We have to think things of good report, not things of bad report. And maybe as you spend time in the Word of God tomorrow morning, that God will reveal to you some thoughts that are not pleasing to Him that can be addressed. Some emotions that are there that need to be addressed. But also note then, verse 24, see if there be any wicked way in me. The will. The heart, the emotions. The thoughts, the mind. The ways, the will. Mind, will, and emotions. We make reference to mind, will, and emotions as being the triune parts of our soul, the real you. Lord, are there any wicked ways in me? Now, we can note some of our wicked ways, but may I submit to you, there could be some wicked ways in your life, in my life, that we are blinded to. Stubbornness, self-will, rebellion, half-heartedness, disobedience. Search me, O God, know my heart, show me, make known to me my emotions. Try me, know my thoughts, make known to me any mindsets that don't please you, and see if there be any wicked way in me, any wicked will in me. Reveal it to me, O God. This is the prayer of the psalmist. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the pathway of the eternal Word of God. A life of obedience to God's eternal Word. So my friend, this evening, one of the great benefits of a personal walk with God is that God, who knows everything about us, will make known to us what we really are. To what end? That we might be changed into His image. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's close with this wonderful verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. To what end, why do we need for God to make known to us those emotions that are not right, those thoughts that are not right, those ways that are not right? To what end? Well, verse 18, that we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And as we meditate upon Christ, and as we see His reflection in the
the pages of Scripture, the Word of God teaches us that the blessed Spirit of God will change us into His image, little by little, from glory to glory. So one of the great benefits of a personal walk with God is knowing that God knows everything about us. Everything about us. As we spend time in that secret place, He knows everything about us. And as we enjoy sweet communion with Him, and as we see Him in the beauty of His glory, He knows everything about us. And you and I, in response, need to cry out, as the psalmist said, "Lord, search me, O God, make known to me any thoughts, any emotions, any ways that do not please you, that I might be changed and transformed into your image in the power of the Holy Spirit of God." That's one of the great benefits of the Word of God. That your life will change. But you need to have the courage to pray Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. So let me challenge you. Try it tomorrow morning. And let's see what God reveals. And then thank God for it, that He's revealed it to you. Not because He hates you, but because He loves you. He wants you to address it. To what end? That we might be changed into the image of Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's bow for prayer.